Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, I'm Dick Sussman, and welcome to Spiritual Concepts. And this is a show that I do every week with my wife, Roberta, and we explore anything to do with the subject of metaphysics.
That's right.
And
hello.
Welcome, baby. And she's sitting just a few feet away from me at her desk, and we're going to talk about Earth energies.
Yes, and I wish they would heat up because it's very cold here.
Yeah, we were out early this morning taking one of our dogs to the vet for an exam. And, man, by the time we got back, and, you know, I very seldom can say this about Sedona. We were frozen.
I know,
just
it wasn't even
frozen. Snowing. No. Poor people living back in Boston are...
I know. We have nothing to complain about, really.
I guess they're not up to... I was going to say up to their armpits in snow. But they're not. It's only 3 foot high.
Yeah.
But I watched the television this morning, and it really looks like winter out there. Here, it looks wonderful. I mean, there's, you know, it's bright sun and trees, and the vortexes are right beyond. I can see Roberta, and then I can see the first vortex, which is...
The Bell Rock?
No. Bell Rock's right over there, of course. What is that little guy that's...
always asking.
I know. I don't... he's not an important vortex.
No.
So, anyway, of course, vortexes, I'm going to save that to talk about a little bit later in the show, but they would certainly fall under Earth energy because, man, I treasure, and I know you do, the idea of this fabulous, mellow energy that we live in 24 hours a day.
And I heard somebody the other day say that, you know, if you're moving to, a lot of people get attracted to Sedona and they want to move to Sedona. I mean, the place is just very magical.
Yes.
And someone said, who was a long timer here, they said, well, in Sedona, if you don't have good energies, the energy here will chew you up and spit you out. And you won't last more than 5 years.
Yeah.
Or maybe he said 2 years. I think it was 2 years he said.
And
I
you'll be all chewed up and spit out?
And I thought that was interesting because you talked about, you know, but we will talk about the earth energy.
Well, I've talked about people, if they had a good marriage, you come here and it just gets stronger and more loving. And if it's not a good combination of two individuals, you'll end up in divorce probably very soon because it is a matter of such an intense energy that it's not like other places or most other places on the planet.
Yeah, and that's why I guess it's pretty mellow for us because we're not we're not going through any conflict. But
right.
Anyway.
So anyway, I wonder if we are. I wonder if we really act like we're stoned all the time.
No, because you're a hypnotherapist.
Well, that may
be. And we constantly listen to the mind converter.
Yeah. Yeah, mind electronics is a lot of our lives. So, So, anyway, well, I should put, my desk is covered.
Covered. When we started talking about doing earth energies, both of us went in a couple of different directions.
Yeah.
And I went into the direction of, you know, my scientific mind about, well, let's study what's actually happening, you know.
Yeah. Yes.
Scientifically, let's figure out what makes sense, and I love the marriage between science and metaphysics.
I know you do. So you've got a very scientific...
Yeah, so I'm sitting there reading this wonderful little, white paper about Earth energies and the impact of Earth energies on the planet, and it all made complete sense to me. And in a nutshell, what I was reading about was, we have the Earth, which is tilted on its axis and spinning on its spinning on its axis. And then we have the sun that is pouring energy out to us. And that energy, as it comes through towards Earth, is called solar winds. And it surrounds the Earth. And as the Earth spins, the winds will always find the path of least resistance. And that means that the energy from the sun will then pool in certain regions. That's very basic. That's, I'm just saying it in a couple of sentences. But right there I went, that makes so much sense to me. Pooling, energy pooling in certain regions.
You mean certain regions will just be windy all the time?
No, I'm talking about the energy.
Okay.
The solar, they call it the solar wind because it's, through space over to us, and surrounding us and turning us into like a generator, But as it penetrates and moves around as we spin, the wind, like anything else, will always follow the path of least resistance. And in some areas, it's like if you just watch the wind patterns go, up the mountain, and as they go down, they'll want to go around. Or wind patterns, actually, you can see in a big city how the wind will go through the...
Whistling through the...
Right, they'll always go around the buildings because the pattern is to find the least resistance.
Cool.
So so with that, I started to think about the whole grid system, and that makes sense with these little pools of energy then, right?
Cool, yes.
And that's why a couple of men are famous for coming up with grids based on this. There's, two men that I don't know if anybody in the audience have heard about it, but the Hartman grid and then the Curry grid, they track these wave patterns, and they both made grids that will pattern this solar wind energy. So that's what I came up with, and I thought it was quite interesting.
Now, does this have anything to do with ley lines?
No, it doesn't.
Magnetic lines?
No.
Connect? Because part of my research, I found these maps where the whole Earth is mapped out where the ley lines are.
Yeah, that's something different. This is just the, energy. And this, we can get into the ley lines in a little bit, but this actually lines up the different, sacred sites that ended up being built on the Earth.
Right.
Like, sacred stones like the Stonehenge or different sacred sites or even sacred places that the Indians have considered sacred, like Sedona, for instance.
Right.
Or we have someplace in Hawaii. So that matches up with all of these. And when you take a map of all these sites and put it up against both of these men's grids, you see these, what I consider the nodes, of the intersections would be the pools of energy, and those are the sacred sites. And I just thought the whole thing was completely fascinating.
Cool. And what does that mean for us? I mean, for being value or...
Well, it just, I guess I like to have a reasoning behind things, and so it just, again, shows that there are patterns. And there's, there's a certain order to the way things are happening. If you just look at Earth and what we can visualize and see and measure, that's on this plane. But just take it a step further, that if you laid all of these pools or nodes of higher energy on the Earth and then put it up to different vibrations, you'll have different levels. And boy, I could get into all kinds of things there. I think I won't at this point. We'll just stop with this.
I may not be able to follow you.
But it's not exactly, it's different than what people would call the ley lines.
All right. Now, what about, like, we go out and if the sky is just perfectly clear, you say it's a certain type of day.
Oh, the high energy?
Yeah.
Or the high pressure?
Yeah, high pressure, low pressure. And if your hair is falling down and not as...
Yeah, that's a little different. Those are just, you know, daily patterns of weather. I'm talking solar energy that is striking the earth and making us live. That's our life energy.
Okay.
That's what I'm talking about on the large
cool.
scale.
Cool. Well, this is far more important than anything I have to say. I don't think anything here is going to... make our life...
No, I didn't mean to make you feel that way. I know we both went and studied in two different ways.
Yeah.
But that's what I discovered, my dear.
I think it's cool. I
Me
really,
too.
I think it's really, really cool, baby. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, I was thinking, well, I'll just pick something here off my desk that kind of leads out of what you were just saying. And, oh, my God, it's just such, I can just reach and grab something.
Well, go for it.
All right. Well, I'll, here's one that if you saw what the bleep do I know or what the bleep.
A movie that you're
talking
about?
Yeah, do we know? Yeah, it was a movie that... came out and all the New Agers in the world saw it, and I think they talked about the secret in it as well. Maybe not in this one, but Dr. Emoto, a Japanese scientist, was talking about water and the fact that if you project, he had bottles of water. He showed in the movie, and then I met Dr. Emoto later, and it was a chance to talk about a lot of these things. But you could take a bottle of water and freeze it, but if before you froze it, if you were nice to it, if you are very loving and compassionate towards the water, when it was frozen and they sliced off thin pieces, it'd be like snowflakes. And some of the snowflakes were just beautiful.
But when they looked at that slice under a microscope,
yeah,
they saw beautiful snowflakes. It's like your beautiful crystal pattern.
Beautiful patterns. And if you were not nice to the water.
You know, the whole time you're talking about this, I can imagine all the new flower children, you know, putting flowers, you know, flowers in their hair and running around hugging trees.
Well, you can always, at a New Age festival, you can always buy water that's got love printed on the label, and then...
What if the person is distributing in
this? Yeah, if he's a negative distributor,
we
he might override the label.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh. Because I truly believe
this
in this.
Is true.
No, I truly
oh
believe in this.
Oh, my God, the photographs of you sent water into this, sent love, into this, or maybe nice, or if you play, I think a lot of experiments were done just by playing sweet music. I don't know what that would be, because some people's sweet music would be hip-hop. I don't think hip-hop is going to do anything but create a gnarled-looking snowflake. But anyway, you know, I suppose Beethoven or something would be... a love projecting snowflake. But the stuff that the ones what they purposely projected hate into, they're all gnarled and they're like... Argh.
So what he did was he, in a liquid form...
Yes.
He sent thoughts of love or thoughts of fear.
Yeah.
And then he froze both of them, sliced open a section of it to look under a microscope. And that's when he discovered the patterns of the crystallized or the frozen water either had a, you know, nice pattern or a gnarly pattern. It was a chaotic pattern.
Yeah.
And that means a lot to you and I, because I think we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. In two forms, we both believe in the power of that type of energy, and we both believe in mind as that our whole life is in our head.
Right. And thoughts are things, and they create.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, wow. And I understand, I'm looking at some of these pictures here on my desk, and they projected words, different words, and also pictures or music. So I don't know what you'd do if you found a little sweet picture of a kitten and showed it to the water. I'm not trying to be. But obviously, well, what would you show them?
Well, no,
Walt Disney sort of a scenery with the deer and they're drinking at the little pond.
No, you don't want to show a deer drinking water to Walt. This is getting silly, sweetie.
I know. Well, it's all right, though. Because the results, and I think here's the part that we have to look at with this, the serious part, is that we are 60% water. Human beings, basically, that's it, 60% water. And so think of, you know, us as a bottle of water, and if somebody is projecting negative thoughts at us, if they froze us,
yeah,
and then checked inside, sliced us open.
But we're lost thoughts, too. I mean, that's
sure.
But it also goes along with the whole idea of what we first started talking about was Sedona and
right.
the energy that you feel here.
Yes.
And what you're projecting and what you come with. And imagine that if you had come to Sedona with, you know, all kinds of wonderful thoughts. And most people, when they come to Sedona, most people are so happy. That's one of the beauties of living here.
It really is.
People are really happy. They love being here, surrounded by this. And then the earth and all the environments and the water inside them all works together.
Got it.
With this, you know, wonderful, what ends up being a healing energy.
Yes. And, you know, that it may be that simple. I don't know. But you can, I know I've conducted seminars all over the world. And nothing takes place like in Sedona at the beginning of a seminar. People are beaming and they're happy. And, you know, if you've got a joyous audience when you step out in front, to begin sharing things, boy, that's nice. That's nice because there are some towns I probably best not mention that's not the case. Really not the case. So anyway, all right, now that's as much as I've got to share on water.
Yeah, well, I think we've actually brought that one up before. And boy, that's a biggie because, like you said, we are made up of water, so it totally makes sense.
And the earth is made up of a lot of water. It has to fall under earth energy.
And also the crystals, you know, the crystalline energy of all living creatures traps this earth energy, this resonant energy that comes from the solar wind. And I'll just bring that up again, sorry.
Okay.
And, you know, and then you've got to understand that's one of the reasons why I see Sedona, which we know has many crystals underneath. We've even seen it layered within the red rocks here
in different places. We could take people right out our back door, walk over to Bell Rock and lead somebody to an area that is so thick with crystals, the whole... it's almost glowing.
But these crystalline structures, just like you were saying that we're 60% water, they're also found in every living cell of every living creature, you know, plant and animal in the earth. And they're very much affected by the earth energies. And so they really resonate, and the energy gets trapped inside these. It sounds very, you know, ominous, but what it means is that you're retaining it, right?
Yes.
So, it makes sense that you're going to polarize yourself with whatever energy you're in. And if you're in one of these stronger energy pools, you're going to really feel it, and you're going to trap, you know, that energy inside you.
Yeah.
In your crystalline structures inside your body.
Well, I was just reading this right before we went on the air, that Earth's energy fields, and a professor named William Becker, he was charting an Earth energy grid there again, and he said the Earth is really a living crystal being.
Ah, just what I was saying.
Yeah, a living crystal being with a geometric skeleton that could be mapped in its patterns of energy flows.
There you go.
Which is what you have been saying, I guess.
Often known as the life force of the organism.
Mm-hmm. And it says it could be mapped in its energy flows and in ocean currents, the winds, river systems, and distributions of precious minerals.
Hmm. And it's also, believe it or not, synchronized harmonically to the 24 period of the rotation of the Earth. How about that?
24 hours?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
So, anyway, so it's, you know, this life frequency, this life force that emanates from every living organism is also can be seen, you know, as it's been referred to as the aura, and can be measured, like, with the, is that Kirlian photography?
Right.
Yeah, so...
right, that's interesting stuff. That's
and
fun.
It can be manipulated using holistic healing methods such as Reiki and chakra balancing and different techniques like that.
Yeah, and I would imagine that they could take a picture of... because one thing I've had done with my own hands, where I have taken the hands just what my normal energy is, and it's just spiking off my fingers all the way around.
So how did you get that picture? Did someone
with a Korean photograph, a camera.
I've never done that.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll get you,
I think there's one right at the street.
Yeah, I think there is, too. Yeah, you can go in. And...
I have no excuse.
But the thing is, what's fun to work with that is then if you want to alter your consciousness just a little.
Oh, cool.
And you go down and you build up your energy. Let's say the way that we move energy through our physical body, through the chakra system, and we're drawing up the God light, and we're filling our body quite literally with the God light. Now you take another picture that I've experienced, and now the energy coming off your fingers is like 10 times as much. I mean, it's just glowing because of what we have done.
And it's all through mental manifestation and bringing it in.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
That is really cool. And it's using, it's really seeing how, you know, the whole system works. To me, you know, it's like I can say, okay, we start off with the solar winds and on, but it's the whole system that we're given of energy.
As individuals, we're given individuals that we can do the maximum amount of good or evil with our physical body. And we don't have to, it does not have to be something that is planned or out in public that much. You can sit there quietly and do it, create it, manifest it with the power of your mind. And we've talked a great deal about that on this show in the past. So thoughts are things they create. So anything more on those solar winds that you're
no.
saving?
No.
You might spring on me later?
No, but I think that you bring up the healing part of what I see the Earth energies of being a part of.
Right.
Because that's when as we say, when you recognize that, you know, as human beings and you're on here and you're affected by the earth energies and you can really change your energies along with the earth, either by your location, your geographic location, or your mental state, right?
Mm-hmm.
And or both, or neither.
Yeah, I guess, or neither.
but then to use it for the positive, which is all we're, you know, what we're all after, right?
Yes, I hope so.
We live in a positive area. We're using it for positive forces, and to use the energy of the whole system, you know, because we have this, a lot of the same structures that Earth has, right? And so Earth is feeding us with energy here in Sedona, and we utilize it and bring it back for.
Thank you, Ruth. Yeah. Well, we say our thank yous around here a lot. Another thing that, you know, I think a really good example, you've played with dowsing, haven't you?
No.
We've never done it together, so I...
No.
Oh.
I know of it. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you a funny story. Every time my father is, you know, He knows me and is never really, you know, my mother is completely accepting of me, even my father. Every time I bring up, you know, what I do or, you know, who I am and the different abilities, he'll say, well, you know, when I was a young man, I believe in this stuff because I witnessed a dowser, and he really did find us a well.
Yeah.
I love my
dad.
Yes,
he did.
But it's like he can't relate to anything else that he
can
relate to the dowsing. Yes, I guess that's where I get my scientific mind from.
Well, you know, it wasn't, I mean, there were so many people think of dowsers, and they, I think of the image is one of a farmers or people from the hills.
That's who he was, a farmer.
Yeah. Before being a college...
university professor.
Professor, yes.
Yeah.
But famous dowsers, you know, Leonardo da Vinci...
Really?
It was a dowser, yeah. So.
And did you know you could go on the internet and look up dowsers for your area?
I imagine.
And they have a list of dowsers, so...
But you could also probably... get some basic instructions and do it yourself. Because if you trust and you take it, you have a little practice, man, you will be able to feel the pull if you're using the twigs, the wires, the pendulum.
And that's really getting in touch with earth energy.
That is really earth energy. Yes, it is. But Albert Einstein was a dowser.
Really?
He really believed in dowsing. General Patton, you know, was, you know, one of our great army generals, was a dowser. And anybody who's ever had the chance of spending a day with Raymond Grace, who's probably the most known dowser in America, you would have a very, very exciting day.
And yes, we actually had someone email us and say, because you had interviewed him and then we replayed it, he contacted Raymond, and Raymond does not have a D on the end. It's R-A-Y.
Right, just R-A-Y.
M-O-N. Grace.
Uh-huh.
And he's back east somewhere.
Yes,
Tennessee
he is.
Or Virginia?
Appalachian Mountains of Tennessee.
Tennessee. Beautiful area.
Yeah.
But anyway, he said he'd spent a wonderful day with him. And Raymond sounds like a character, and you do know him, right?
Oh, yeah, I know him well. And I've done his radio show, and he's done mine, and I've gone back and talked to his people because he really wanted me to do that. And, I mean, it was just a day of weirdness. I mean, and that is to the normal way of life. When you spend a day with somebody like Raymond, it's just not like it. Number one, he has a shell. It's like a pistol shell. I think it was like from a .45 or something. He's got a drill through it, and he's got it on a chain. And the whole time, it's a dowsing instrument. And as we're talking, he'd be spinning it like this. You can't see what I'm doing, but just imagine as I'm sitting talking to Roberta, facing her, I'm also spinning this shell. And whatever she's saying to me, I'm analyzing with the shell, with the pendulum, to see if she's telling it, is she telling me the truth? Is she lying? Is she very sure of herself? What's going on with Roberta? And I just keep spinning that shell. And God Almighty, he didn't quit. He would just always do it. But I talked to these friends of his about water and some research I was doing in water. And Raymond will take somebody who has a water problem, which is certainly earth energy, and he can purify the water. I mean, he's taken something like a big pond area, and he just purified it. And you don't know what he's done. It's all been done with the mind and spinning that shell, I think. So you can find a well, but you can use the dowsing in so many different methods. And he's tapping in to the earth energy. And we've had a great time, and I have really enjoyed Raymond. And he will look at the water that's going on within your body if you want. He can see.
Wow.
He can really do magic with a pendulum. And that's what he would use to go out and find the water underground or do the beginning of purification, get the answers he needed, and move on. So, earth energy, dowsing. And of course, you can use several different methods, including the forked twig from a tree. And there's one particular kind of a tree, and I forget right now what kind of tree it is, but it's best. And so I know that General Patton, he ordered a whole tree of that type cut down and flown to him wherever he was, if it was in Europe somewhere, so that they could keep giving the twigs to the local people so that they could find water. So, you know, our tax money paid for an airplane to carry a tree to these people far across the world so they could douse. You're looking at me like I have
gone. No, I'm fascinated. No, no, no. No, I'm fascinated. I don't know much about it.
All right. All right. I can't believe we have just talked a little too much here, maybe. Do you have some ads?
Oh, it's halfway.
Yeah.
It's already halfway.
Yeah.
Well, I want everybody to come to our website because it's just filling up with new stuff all the time. And we have seminars this year, and some of them are going to be so excited. And if you're really interested in the earth energies and coming to Sedona with us, and really our first seminar is all about healing. It's healing here in the vortexes of Sedona, and it's called, let me check real quick, it's the Sedona
Healing
Spiritual,
Seminar.
Mental, Physical, and Healing Seminar. And
right.
It's February 21st and 22nd, so it's the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, at the Poco Diablo Resort, and that's right on State Road 179. And it's only $299 for the 2 days. So we really, really want to see you there. We're going to be talking about healing and the blue healing ray. We're going to be doing inspired writing sessions and etheric body modeling. We're also going to be doing soul calling sessions and also the one-on-one healing. And back to the cause, past life regression. So you'll get
yes.
That. Plus we have a healing circle at the end. So by utilizing the energy of Sedona. Please join us if you at all are thinking about it. We'd just love to have you.
We sure would.
Yeah, come to our website and look under seminars.
Look at all the new stuff. We've got a ton of new stuff. And sometimes I find myself checking something out and I think, who put this up? What happened in here? I might have, I very well might have gotten the product ready. I've got overseen the remastering and all of that. But all of a sudden, it's up, and Roberta's done magic stuff with it, or Hunter, the son Hunter, and I'm thinking, man, this is great.
We're working on it. We're working on it. I really love the system that this new. It's really easy to put up new stuff. So,
cool.
Anyway, that's my ad.
Anyway, thank you. I'm going to talk about ley lines.
Awesome.
All right. Alfred Watkins discovered ley lines in 1921 from his realization that a series of straight lines could link all of the Earth's various landmarks into a network of ancient tracks. Now, you know, Sedona is supposedly on ley lines that line up all around the world. It's on a ley line with the Bermuda Triangle, which would be a negative vortex, but still a very powerful spot in the Earth. And people have built temples. They built the early mounds, you know, the great mounds that you'll find especially in places like Ireland, but even in the United States. Back in Ohio and so on, there's been great...
I have a question about ley lines.
Yeah.
Do they correspond with latitudes or longitudes?
No, they don't seem to.
Okay.
I looked at some stuff on the web because I knew I was going to be talking about this a little, and I don't get it. I'm like, there are lines all over the earth that somebody has gotten. And so all you have to do is go, you know, use your search, Google it or whatever system you use, and search out these ley lines, L-E-Y-L-I-N-E-S. And there, the people have mapped them. But the United States, you know, I was looking, one seems to come in near California, and I'm wondering if that one could be in Sedona, because Sedona is very, very close, basically, here to L.A., and it's just simply a spot that looks like it could be maybe inland a ways, and that would possibly put it over here with us, but there's not many. A line runs all the way across, looking like a little above the Canadian border, and down in Florida, do you know of any power spots? Of course, the Bermuda Triangle might be in that general area, I suppose.
Right, it is. Florida is one edge of it.
Yeah, well.
Then it goes Bermuda and then down.
So anyway, well, you know, this Alfred Watkins, he got the idea, and ley lines are thought to be magnetic in nature. And the same lines that birds, mammals, insects, and even bacteria, now that bothers me a bit, but bacteria use to migrate across long distances. Can you imagine some bacteria migrating?
Let's not focus on that. You know,
okay.
It makes sense that when you, would you repeat the first part again? Because I was thinking about.
They're thought to be magnetic in nature. And they're lines that animals, birds, animals, even bacteria.
So when they're migrating,
traverse.
They use these ley lines.
Right.
It also corresponds with what I was reading about with these grids, based on, you know, crystallines, because, you know, crystals obviously are highly influenced by the in the core,
right,
of our Earth that is magnetized. We have a magnetized poles, the North and South Pole, correct?
Sure.
So, yeah, that all makes sense now.
Well, they're considered sacred. So they all interconnect. And if you look on these big maps on the web, it shows how the interconnection takes place, like in geometric patterns.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's a lot more organized.
Yeah, and somebody's going to probably email us and go, hey, Roberta, the grids that you're talking about are ley lines. Hello. Because these are also in grids, but they just didn't call them ley lines.
Right.
That's why I wasn't sure. And I wasn't sure that they were the same way, because the way I was looking at these two grids, they're just a grid, and there's no, you know, space. Like, the United States wouldn't have a line up by Canada and then one down here. That's what I'm saying. They're just all over.
Yes.
So I thought they were different. So if anybody out there in the audience has a little more knowledge, let me know.
We're just babbling here.
No, it's very interesting.
No, it is to me too. And we're sharing just some skimmed off the top facts. I mean, ley lines I've talked about for years as far as connecting with sites like Stonehenge and so on, or some of the big temples or churches all around the country, the world. So energy vortexes and these pathways are considered sacred. And then famous occultists began to study them, and Dionne Fortune explained her idea of ley lines in as lines of power that linked prehistoric sites. And this was way back in 1936 in a novel she wrote called The Goatfoot God. And others have also suggested that ley lines follow the lines of cosmic energy in the earth, and they can be doused. So the idea of dowsing for ley lines, I don't know, but maybe. So in the 1960s, ley lines became linked with UFO sightings by other theorists. In the 1969 book, The View Over Atlantis, John Mitchell discussed ley lines within the context of geometry. Geomancy. I found your copy of that. Sorry. I am taking this very seriously. Aside from that. So, okay, well, let's talk about, you know, vortexes. We have some other things that are important. Ions. I think I'll talk about ions
first before the vortex.
Yeah, ion generators. We haven't had an ion generator that we kept here in the house. But because I think all we have to do is open the doors. And we have so many trees and the vortex areas right out the doors and windows, so that the moment we do that, we are going to receive huge amounts of negative ions. And they're the ones that make you feel good. Negative ions, if you really want a great refresher, of course, the instant refresher is to go into your shower. And some people really need to be in a shower at least once a day, not because they need to clean up as much as they need the splashing water that creates the ion and creates the negative ions. So if you know somebody who really almost is addicted to showers, they're probably addicted to negative ions, and they really need to be in that kind of environment. The best place in the world is to walk along the seashore, where the waves are coming in and splashing and just throwing trillions of ions up into the air. Now, they can be generated as well by an ion generator. They even have ion generators for cars, which I haven't gone that far. But positive ones aren't good. And it's interesting to read the history of how somebody that was doing research with ions, just some days he'd come home and he just felt horrible. He felt negative, nasty, depressed. And it took quite a while to really understand that on those days he'd been working with positive ions. When he came home feeling really good, he had been working with negative ions. All right, I also have a note here. The planet Earth, the Schumann residence, is kind of the heartbeat of the planet. It's 7.8 hertz, in case anyone was just waiting to hear that. And that has not changed. I heard for a while that it was speeding up. And I have found nothing now to substantiate that. All the reports that I get in any way looking up anything to do with that fact, it remains 8.2 hertz. I'm sorry. 7.8. All right, now, let's talk about vortexes. There's what's called the vile vortexes. Vile, V-I-L-E. And there's 10 of them on the Earth. And again, they are energy. And the three that I've always written about being here, Sedona being one, down in Florida, Bermuda Triangle being another, and Hawaii being another, are all captured in this research material. They don't mention Sussex, England, which Lyle Watson wrote about in his books. These are all strong vortexes, places where energy is coming up out of the Earth and is creating an effect. So now if you follow this a little bit, there are people that say the Earth has 7 major vortexes. These are sites that align with the chakra centers. And the first one would be the bottom, that'd be the number one chakra, the root chakra, is Mount Shasta, California. So
the vibration
that's coming off of Mount Shasta would align with the, how you figure this, I don't know, because it's interesting, but
complicated.
Shasta is the most primal of the Earth chakra centers. It's at the base of the world energy system. And here the raw precursors of biological life are released into global circulation and development. Mount Shasta regulates the universal life force prior to its integration into individual life forms and species. The energy of Shasta, as the first chakra, is like a geyser, a great uprush of life energy or prana, without shape or structure. Now, the second chakra center of the Earth is Lake Titicaca on the border of Bolivia and Peru. And I won't go into all of that because this, it will probably take too long if I'm going to try to read about these chakras. But I'll mention them, and if you, anyone listening, would like to follow up, there's plenty on the web about this. The third is the solar plexus chakra, and it's the, oh boy, ULURA hyphen KATATJUTA in Australia.
Sounds Aborigine.
It probably is. But that'd be the solar plexus chakra center of the earth itself.
In Australia, okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, the heart center is, the heart chakra is in Glastonbury and Shaftesbury, England. So, there's a lot written about that one. I wish I had a lot of time to read and discuss. Now, the throat chakra, be the number 5 of 7, is the Great Pyramid of Giza at Mount Sinai, Egypt, the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem. That's the throat chakra. You've been in those places, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, and there is a whole lot written about that. Now, the third eye chakra is, oh my, I'm coming over to Roberta's house.
Oh, in Afghanistan. It's on the border of Iran and Afghanistan and Pakistan. So I'm with you on that one.
Can you pronounce any of those?
Malik. Yeah, the triple border of Iran, Afghanistan, and Pakistan.
Okay.
So that is the
third eye.
And then, of course, the crown chakra is Mount Kailas in Tibet. What about us? What about us?
Well, we got Mount Shasta.
Oh, okay.
We are, that's the bottom. It's a tail.
Oh, we're the tail end.
Okay. Yeah, so anyway, read about it.
Yeah, that's quite interesting when you hook up. Well, it also makes sense because everybody understands about the energy centers within your body, and, of course, they're going to be resonating with the energies of the earth.
Yes.
And you will be drawn to different places that will resonate with your energy, correct?
Yeah.
And so it would make sense that the earth would have its own chakra system. And I'm sure many out there know a lot more about this than we do. We're just kind of novices on the whole thing. We do know a lot about the vortexes in Sedona, how they affect people, how they facilitate and accelerate healing.
Right.
How
Bell Rock, right over here, is an electric vortex.
Uh-huh.
And so electric vortex, you're going to have basic things that you can count on taking place or results that can be predicted. It's purported to be a beacon vortex. In other words, the energy is shooting right out the top and miles up into the air, which probably has something to do with why there are so many UFOs spotted above Bell Rock.
Well, I'll tell you also, after living here and seeing the immense amount of, because we live near Bell Rock, immense amount of white orbs that are around this area.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I think of it like a volcano, just white orbs. So I wonder sometimes, and this is just the thinking out loud, if some of these UFOs that people have sighted, if maybe they're also just looking at orbs that are around here. They're everywhere.
It could be because I haven't, you know, I've been on Bell Rock, as you know, dozens and dozens and dozens of times. But I haven't sat looking at the sky or had anything come in that I've noticed in particular. But people, the reason I say that is because people would send me photographs. They're out there, and then these maybe saucer-like ships would appear above there. And so for a long time, I just had a file that I stuck all the pictures that people sent me.
Yeah,
items over, you know.
If anybody comes to Sedona, you will not be disappointed in some of the pictures you can take. Just the other day, we were out, and we took pictures of a couple of the rocks, and there was an angel in the middle of our picture.
There sure was.
I mean, it was just, it's really fun. It's really fun. We've got to speed this up, my dear. We only have a few minutes.
Well, I just, I'm talking about sacred sites, which is one of my favorite things, of course. Of course, that's what we're dealing with here in Sedona. But Newgrange in Ireland, Northern Ireland, and it's a mound. And it dates back to 4700 B.C. That's a long time ago. And this is just a great mound of earth. Like it's, and it has, it's like a long rectangle. The precise details of the religious or ceremonial practices that were once carried out here are impossible to discover, but it was certainly a bustle of activity during the winter solstice, for on that day, precisely at dawn, the ray of the rising sun aligns to penetrate the entire length of this passageway. So they have got it. So they, I've seen how they have engineered the light to come in, and then it hits at one end of the passageway, and light is beamed all the way down, I suppose with a mirror, to the other end. And at the end of this long, it's like 63 feet, this one particular passageway. There's all sorts of other doors and places in the mound. But the great chamber is shooting the light in and illuminating a lot of Celtic symbols. So all of that had very special meaning for the people that created it, because it's been going on every year for 4,000 years. On December 21st, this happens. Now, my experience in Ireland is it rains more than the sun is ever out, so I wonder what happens on a rainy morning, if it would still, you could go over there and wait for a long time to be and see the effect. And if it's a rainy morning, I don't know that it would work, but the they say people may have, at the very least, they worked on it for months, a huge number of people, and they say it may have been years. If they were able to move enough dirt and carve out all these inside structures, and time is almost gone. It's been fun.
Yeah, thank you, sweetie.
Thank you, sweetheart. It has been. Thank you, everybody, for being with us. Come back again next week, same time, same day. Thanks so much for being here.